calling any names, but I'm glad the lights are down low. All right. It's time to take our prayer requests before the Lord. Anybody have a special spoken prayer request? Okay, so did you get that? Okay. Yes, Cecil Singleton. Okay. Okay. Amen. We got a pep prayer tree too that it'll go out all over the place. That Stephanie's on it right now. See her writing it down. What's the dog's name? Pretty girl. Amen. I'm going to leave that one alone. Go Okay. Well, you know where John Wayne got his name, the Duke, from, don't you? That was the name of his dog, Duke. Yeah, long time ago, he had a dog named Duke, and even had some movies, I think, with John Wayne and Duke. But also in the movies, you know what John Wayne usually called his dog in cowboy movies? Dog. Yep, dog. One thing about it, you can't forget that name, dog. Is that dog gone? All right. Wow. Well, where's he at? Washington Hospital? Did you get that? Gregory Boyd? He's in Washington Hospital. Thought he may have had a stroke. Oh. And Cecil's last name was? Okay, there you go. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God's able. God's more than able. He just wants us to acknowledge Him when we pray and believe Him and trust Him. Father, we love You, Lord. We praise Your name. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We know, God, that You are alive and well on the throne. Father, we know, God, that You are moving in our midst, Lord, that You are working in ways that we don't even comprehend, don't see, and don't understand. I ask you right now, Father, to touch, Lord, and to anoint, Father, this service. Lord, touch each and every prayer request, spoken and unspoken alike. God, this is your time, Father. We go to you, Lord, believing, Father, for answers to prayer. And God, you've showed us so many answers through the years. And God, we believe you're going to show us some more right now in the name of Jesus. You're an awesome God, a powerful God, and you're more than able to touch those that need a healing in their body, Lord, touching these animals that need healing. Father, touching these families, Lord, that are grieving. Whatever the problem is, God, you can handle it. And we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Get your Bibles out. A favorite passage of Scripture of mine, Acts 27. Acts 27. Anybody had any storms lately? Anybody gone through anything lately? Everybody could say, yep, yes, yes. It's really amazing. I'm going to talk about going through stuff and opening up my Bible, and there was this in here that I've used before, but I just thought it was kind of amusing that this would be here when I'm getting ready to talk about when you have things happen in your life. Metropolitan Insurance Company published this list, Reasons and Excuses for Automobile Accidents. Number one, an invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and vanished. I like to use that one. The pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. Wow, that's not good. I've been driving for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had the accident. The indirect cause was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. The other driver was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. And my favorite is, I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and hit it over the embankment. Y'all? Okay. That's the last time I use that list. Now let's get back to this. Get your book, your Bibles out, Acts 27. No matter how many times you read a scripture, how many times you see it, I've discovered that every time I read the scriptures, I find something different. Because the Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And no matter how many times I read it and read certain passages of scripture, yesterday we were at that meeting, they did a devotion on Psalm 103, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forgetting all his benefits. And I've preached that thing hundreds of times. I've read it hundreds of times. And even yesterday, he had me on the edge of my seat with his devotion because he was bringing out some stuff I never even thought of. It's just amazing how the Word of God, how rich it is and how powerful it is. Now, got Acts 27, verse 9. Now, when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading in the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they may attain Phoenice and their winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, there arose a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. Now, just to kind of understand Euryclidon is a word that's used on the sea and the land. If it's used on the land, it speaks of a hurricane. Wow, that's heavy. When it's speaking on the sea, it's speaking of a cyclone, hurricane combo. So this is some tough stuff. This isn't your average day, just stump your toe. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. And running upon a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. Or in other words, they got a chance to do a little bit of work, but they couldn't do much to it because even where they stopped, it wasn't safe. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest the next day, we lightened the ship. Or actually, they threw over the stuff that they were so eager to get to the other side with, they actually threw it off the ship. And on the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now, you know it's bad when you just throw everything over and have no control. And what control you had, you just gave it up. All right? And when neither sun nor stars appears, or many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Father, bless your word. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the power and authority that it has. Bless us this night. Let it bring us hope. And we thank you for what you're doing in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I happen to read, I was reading behind some pretty well up people. Whoever heard of Captain Alan Bean, United States Navy? Captain Alan Bean was one of the guys that was on Apollo 12. All right? He wrote this in the Reader's Digest. Test pilots have a litmus test for evaluating problems. I'm pretty sure Brother Steve's heard of this. When something goes wrong, they ask, is this thing still flying? Number one question. Things are going crazy. Are we still flying? If the answer is yes, then there's no immediate danger. No need to overreact. When Apollo 12 took off, and I didn't know about this until I was reading this story. Well, everybody knows about Apollo 13. I mean, that never made it to the moon. It did make it to the moon. It used the moon to slingshot it to get it back to the earth and almost lost everybody. But here, when Apollo 12 took off, the spacecraft was hit by lightning. The entire console began to glow with orange and red trouble lights. There was a temptation to do something, but the pilots asked themselves, is this thing still flying in the right direction? I'm in the Apollo. And I've got all that thrust underneath me. And all of a sudden I see these trouble lights. I don't know if I could hold my bearings to wonder, is this thing still flying? I don't know, why are we still flying? Get back down. The answer was yes. We're headed for the moon. They let the lights glow as they addressed the individual problems and watched the orange and red lights blink. Blink out one by one. There's something to think about in any pressure situation. Is your thing still flying? Think first and then act. Captain Alan Bean, U.S. Navy Apollo astronaut, Apollo 12. That's a big thing to think about. We're looking at Paul. Paul with the other guys. Paul has already got a divine assignment. The divine assignment is he's got to go to Rome. He knows he's supposed to go to Rome. And he knows that Satan will do anything within his power to destroy all hopes of carrying out God's will in his life. He'll do anything he can to make you think that whatever God is using you for, that he's going to find a way to take it away. Well, Paul sees what's going on. These guys are having a hard time. They run into one of those 100-year storms. It's really wrecking their ship. It's so bad that experienced seamen would rather throw the tackle off the ship and let her drive and not have that extra weight. You know things are bad. Have you ever had a time in your life when things are so bad that you just said, I don't even trust what I even know anymore. It's so bad I don't even trust it. Lord, I don't know what to do. I've even seen people actually, when they got under trial, it got so bad, they even threw that away. That's the worst thing, throw away. But I've seen them do it. It's so important that when things are going rough, that you need to do like Alan Bean said, is this thing still flying? Are we still going in the right direction? Are we still afloat? Well, again, here's something to learn. When you're on this ship, on in this kind of a storm, here's some things I want you to remember. I want you to ask yourself these things, or tell yourself these things. Number one, if you're taking notes, write these down. Number one, when you find yourself in a tough situation, when you find yourself in one that's so bad that you don't even know which way to turn, how to turn, what to do. That's what they were saying. We have no idea how to handle this. Number one, ask God to teach you a lesson. Talk to me, Lord. Why are you allowing this in my life? Talk to me. Show me the lesson that I'm here to learn. Show me what you're trying to tell me, because God, I know if you allow tough times, there's always a lesson. It says in verse 20, we'll go right there, and neither when sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. In the middle of total chaos, where they couldn't find any direction, God sent his angel right in the middle of it and said it's going to be okay. If there's one thing I can tell every last one of you tonight, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but there's one thing I can tell you. If you trust God, no matter what you're going through, it will be okay. Amen? It will be. Look at somebody and tell him, it will be okay. Amen? Remember, when you can't see God's hand, you can trust his heart. There's been many times I couldn't see his hand, but I found out I could always trust his heart. He would take care of the situation. Number one, ask God for the lesson. Tell me, God, what's going on? Show me. Just this week, I remember talking with several people that told me things that they had gone through, and they said at the time I was going through it, I thought it was going to be the worst thing that could ever happen to me. And then after I got through it, I found out I learned more, and God did more with me while I was going through that than any time in my life. And I thank God that he was there and allowed me to go through this thing. Number one, learn your lesson. Number two, here's a good one. Probably harder than learning the lesson. Y'all say this with me. Learn to listen. Listen. How many times have you not gotten in trouble if you'd have listened? This morning, like DC and Daniel had all the law out there at the house. If they'd have listened to me and stayed down the road where they were supposed to, where nobody could hear them, we'd have been fine. But no! They had to come and get right in the middle of the whole neighborhood and let it rip. Learn to listen. But don't just listen to everything. Listen to what God is saying in his word. The older I get, the more I understand. God's word has an answer for every problem. It may not seem, you say, well, how in the world? God or Jesus and them, when they're writing this, when the apostles wrote this, they weren't going through things like we were. Yes, they were. It was just in a different mode, but it was still the same stuff. They were going through stuff like we were, and you can go to it, and you'll find out that the Word of God is alive and ready, and it'll tell you. You never know the complete truth about any situation until you talk to God. Talk to Him. It says 26, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. They thought they were going down. They thought they were going under. Circumstances said, you're through. Circumstances said there's no way out. Circumcised. Thank you, Lord. We're not under the law. Wait a minute. Circumstances. Woo! Circumstances said, no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to help yourself. So just throw everything out and just let it drive. But God said, everything's going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. I can sit back and I look at times and I'm thinking, Lord, how in the world? Have you ever been in a situation where you just even hated to be in that situation? You even hated to be there talking with that person or in that situation or wherever it may be. And you really kind of hate even being there because you know it's not good. And you sit there and you grit your teeth and you hold on and you say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen here. And you watch God just rain down divine favor. And all of a sudden, it's awesome. I remember when I was working at Fountain. I was working at Fountain and Wyatt, Mr. Fountain's oldest son, he moved to industrial engineering, and He said, he took all these people with him and looked over at me and said, David, you're coming too. And he had not even said five words to me when he moved me with him. He hadn't talked to me at all. And he just kept looking at me kind of funny. I don't know whether it's because of my hairstyle or what. But he just would look at me kind of funny. And after being with him for about 2 or 3 weeks, he said, it's time for your evaluation. Come downstairs. We got to talk. And I thought, oh no, this is not going to be good. I was thinking about circumstances, thinking about the way he was looking at me, thinking about all this stuff. He never smiled. I'm thinking, this is not good. He took me downstairs. He looked at me and said, I've been looking over your records. I'm looking over your stuff. I'd only been there for a few months. And he goes, I just got to tell you. And I'm thinking, might as well start packing up my mess. He goes, I couldn't be any happier with your performance. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you, it was either $1 or $2 an hour raise right now. He said, you're getting a raise. And he said, just keep up the good work. And I'm thinking, he said, just make sure you keep doing what you're doing. And then after that, from that time on, things changed. Me and Wyatt became the best of friends. But I was trusting what I was seeing, not trusting God. And so God showed me, I've got favor that's going to take care of whatever your situation is. Amen? And so from that time on, I didn't fear those guys looking at me funny anymore. Amen? Because, as a matter of fact, if somebody started looking at me funny, I'm thinking, I'm getting me a raise. Just kidding. All right. Somebody say lesson. Somebody say listen. Learn to lean. We sing learning to lean, but do we actually lean on Him? I ride down the road sometimes singing learning to lean, learning to lean. I was telling Steve yesterday I was driving for this other guy because he had his hand operated on. And we're going down, I'm not sure where we're at. I was just watching Garmin. We were talking. I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing, Harley, but so I was keeping my eye on the road. I'd been on 264, getting ready to go down 95, and his phone was our GPS. I see it says 10 miles before our turn. I said, okay, but I don't see where it says turn. And his phone rings. It's his wife. So he picks it up. He's talking to her. And I said, dude, you need to go ahead and get off the phone to myself because I didn't know where we're going. And so the guy finally sets it down and hits it, calls it up, and it gives us a different place to go, a different route. I didn't know that. I'm watching it. And all of a sudden, we get about from here to the front doors up there, and he goes, and there's an exit. And he says, turn! I'm going 70. And so I slammed on brakes, and I whipped it around that curve, and we went down. And he told the people once we got there, I threw him in the back seat. And I told him, I said, if you knew, why didn't you tell me? He said, I did. I said, could you tell me a little bit sooner next time? But see, I was leaning on this, and he had programmed it wrong. But you know what? You can always lean on this. Always. Always. You can always lean on His Word. Don't panic. Don't take matters in your own hands. God's Word is truth regardless of the circumstance. Regardless of your circumstance, God's Word is still true, and God's Word is still the truth, and God's Word will still do what it said it would do. Amen? Verse 27 says, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. In other words, now they're getting in shallow water. Then fearing that we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for day. And the shipmen were about to flee the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let them fall off. Wow. God, sometimes you just got to let go. You heard about the man that fell over the side of the mountain And he's holding on to this branch. And he's getting ready to fall. And he hollers, "Somebody help me!" Couldn't hear anybody. So he said, "Is anybody down there?" And finally he heard a voice. He hollered again, "Is there anybody down there?" And he heard the voice again. And the voice said, "Yes, this is God." He said, "Phew, thank you." He said, "God, I need help." He said, "Okay." He said, "What you want me to do?" He said, "Let go." And the guy tried and said, "Is there anybody else down there?" How many times do we keep trusting our own strength when we can give it to Him? We keep thinking we've got it under control. We know exactly what's going on, how to handle it. We've been there and done that before. We got it. Not realizing sometimes you just got to let go. Just let go. Let go and let God. So Lean, now say this word. Live. Y'all say it with me. Live. The Bible says in verse 33, "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing.'" 2 whole weeks on this boat, haven't eaten anything. "Wherefore I pray that you take some meat. This is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took the bread and gave thanks in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they all took some meat. And when they were then, and all that were in the ship were 260 souls, or 276 men, were on board. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. When you're going through problems, I was just talking to somebody recently. Somebody said they saw how I was handling the situation, and they said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "What?" They said, "You act like this isn't even bothering you." I said, "It is." And they said, "Well, you're not acting like it." I said, "Very much so. It bothers me." I said, "But you know what? I've given it to God because I can't do a thing about it." And then they said, "Well, so what you're doing is you're just," they told me this, "so you're just living a lie." I'm glad they were a friend. And I said, "No, I'm not living a lie. It's called walking by faith." And they said, "But if I was going through this, I'd be having problems." I said, "Well, I'm glad you're not." I said, "But I can tell you, going crazy is not going to help anything. It's going to make it worse." I said, "Matter of fact, I feel better about the whole situation because I give it to God. And I'm still going to live. I'm not going to walk around with the mully grubs with my head all down, you know, like I've lost my best friend, because my best friend is Jesus." And he said he wasn't going to leave me or forsake me. And they said, "Well, still, how can you?" So you don't call it living a lie? I said, "It's not living a lie. It's walking by faith and trusting God." And I said, "You ought to try it sometime. It might make you feel better." I had an uncle one time that told me the same thing. After I got saved, my uncle came to me and he said, "You don't worry about anything, do you?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, every time I see you, you're happy and seem happy-go-lucky and nothing seems to bother you." I said, "Stuff bothers me." He says, "Well, you don't show it." I said, "Good, thank you. That's a compliment." He says, "Well, how in the world can you walk around like this when the world's falling apart?" I said, "I trust God to take care of the situation. If I'm either going to have to trust Him with it all or don't trust Him at all." Amen. Matter of fact, some of y'all in here tonight might can find life a little bit more simplistic and more livable if you can learn that little secret that's not a secret. He said the just shall live by faith, or by their faithfulness. And learn it when you're going through something, instead of getting all bent up about it and all pent up about it and getting all worried about it. I'm still talking to God every day about it. Every day I talk to God about this problem. "God, this is the problem. You know what it is. You got to handle it. It's in your hands. I give it to you. I can't take it. It's too heavy for me." I even sent out a Mighty Army message. I think it was this morning. "It's not the load that gets you," or yesterday morning. "It's not the load that gets you, but it's how you carry it." Amen. Give it to God. Give it to God. Like Captain Alan Bean. Is this thing still flying? Amen? So, learn to live. Then learn just to release it to God. The Bible says in 39, it says, and when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore in which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up a mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken by the violence of the waves. Let God have the boat. Let Him be the pilot. Let Him have it. Let God have the boat. If He wants to wreck it, let Him wreck it. If He's going to wreck it, every exit is a new door. Let Him wreck it. Every problem winds up being the answer or solution to another problem. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust God to take care of it. Let go and let God. The older I get, the more I understand it. Let go and let God. You can sit there and worry about it and worry about it and worry about it until you get sick in your stomach, or you can just say, okay, God, here it is. I remember when I was 20, when, let's say, DC's 33, so I was 23, I think I was, when I quit smoking. And I remember I the first week I quit smoking, I could eat a cigarette that long and drink the juice out of it. I tried everything. I smoked those old cigars like Clint Eastwood trying to quit. Finally, one night, I had a mouthful of chew in the back. I was on the fire truck, and God was getting ready to back the fire truck and break off a light, and I went to holler at Him, a mouthful of chew in the back, and I swallowed all that red man. But I remember whenever I felt that urge to quit, I mean, to pick one back up again, I would tell myself, that thing is killing you. It may not shorten your life, but it'll sure mess up the quality of it. Stop it. It may not shorten your life, but it'll mess up the quality of it. Stop it. And I told myself that every day, every time I got that feeling. It may not shorten your life, but it definitely will ruin, or it'll make it harder. Stop it. And eventually, I walked away from it. And the Lord told me, I had a problem come up afterwards. And the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know how to get through this problem. And I'll tell you, He said, in my spirit, He said, the same way you quit smoking is the same way you quit worrying. The problem you're going through may not kill you, may not shorten your life, but it'll sure make it miserable. Stop it. And so I've learned just to hand it to God. I went into kind of a hostile situation one day this week, not from anybody here, but because there's other people that I minister to, too, and family members. And I went to a hostile situation, and before I opened up the door, I knew it was going to get rough, and I was going to be the mediator. And when I got ready to open the door, the first thing I said was, Holy Spirit, I need you to get between me and them right now. And if you're not going to get in between us, don't even let this door open. And I walked in. And it was chaotic. And I said, Lord, let your Holy Spirit get in between me and them. And it's so amazing how they calmed right down. And I could mediate. But I believe if I hadn't have said that, I just want to turn around and walk down. And they'd have killed each other. Trust God. Trust Him. Learn to live. Learn to let go. And here's the last one. Learn to look. The Bible says, of course, when the soldiers took counsel to kill the prisoners, they sent them to swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they could swim, those that could swim, should cast himself first upon the sea and get the land, and the rest some on boards and some on pieces of ship. But it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. It's because of your anointing that you're going through what you're going through. It's because of your anointing, Satan wants you so bad. The stronger the anointing, the stronger the attack. Again, I talked about this the other night. If he sees potential, he's going to attack it every way he can. When the attack's going on, just hold on and look. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there's no temptation that's taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. And that's where people stop, thinking, well, I can get out of this trial. That's not what it says. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Nowhere does it say he'll take you out of it. It says he'll take you through it. He'll take you through it. Watch. You know, I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what your person next to you may think you know what they're going through, but you don't really know that. Because we're all on the outside looking in. You know, we don't always understand the sufferings that our brothers and sisters are going through. We don't always understand what everybody's having to face. But God knows everything that you're going through. We can say like Job. Job said, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. I'm going to do whatever it takes, Lord, to be shiny. To be shiny. You know, the Bible says they met where two seas met, and it tore up the ship. Two seas. It's a double cyclone. Two seas meet. It's a place of no peace and a place of no go. It's a place of rushing, suction, whirlpool. It's a place of violence and unevenness. And it forms a sandbar. And it broke up the only thing that was left that was holding them from being cast into the sea. But they were so close to land that they made it to land. Do you know, the storm carried these people, if you take from where they started, and getting that little island Melita, if you take those places and you check it from here to here, you know how far that storm drove them? 500 miles. Wow. In just a couple of weeks, 500 miles. Wow. Can you imagine thinking, when's this going to stop? When's this going to quit? Why am I so far off a course? Trust God. He's going to get you to land. He's going to help you. But remember, just like Alan Bean said, ask, is this thing still flying? Are we still floating? Then calm down. Calm down and check it out. Calm down and find the right solution. Learn a lesson. Learn to listen. Learn to lean. Learn to live. Learn to let go and let God. Learn to look. God, show me. And notice, because of the anointing, that Satan is attacking you. God wants you to have peace in your life. God wants you to understand that He's got something greater for you than you ever could imagine. But sometimes you have to go through the fire to get there. Sometimes you have to go through the storm to get there. Sometimes you have to go through the flood to get there. But it's okay. Because if God knows what's coming, then God's already prepared everything you need. Learn to be calm. Learn to keep your head. And watch what God will do for you. Don't try to work it out on your own. Trust God. And watch what will happen. Let's all either stand or pray at your seat or come up and pray up here, but we're going to pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Lord, so many things happen in our life we don't understand, and storms come and even take away the hope of what we even had hope for. Things get tough. We get tempted to panic. And just like in quicksand, you panic, you're going down. When you're swimming, you panic. If you're drowning, you panic, you're going down. Lord, help us not to panic. Help us, Lord, not to lose hope in you and let you have control. Help us, Lord, not try to work it out ourselves, because working it out ourselves is not a good option. God, we need divine wisdom when we're on our divine mission. Father, I trust you. I praise your name. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've got this. I thank you, Lord, that everything we're facing this night, you've got it. And you got it in the palm of your hand, which means you're in total control. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. In the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. And we thank you. Bless us. Help us go home. Help us to have a peaceful night, a peaceful week. Help us, God, to not have an old goat skin, but help us be willing to stretch. Help us be willing, because there's some good stuff coming. And Lord, let us be ready when this good stuff comes, because we want to make a difference for the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Church said, you know, I when I went to prison, y'all know if I told y'all, there was a couple weeks ago, I was in F block, and I just walked right on in one of the block, walked right into a cell because there was three guys in the cell, and we don't normally, I mean, they don't advise us to walk into the cells, but I walked into the cell, and there was three guys, and of course I said, one of y'all must be the CEO, the other's the COO, and one's the CFO, and the three prisoners said, no, you got that wrong. And one of the guys, I told you, one of the guys told me, said, you stink.